This is part B of Obsessed with Sex. Let's continue on in Jeremiah 7. Now, God always offers repentance. Now, in offering repentance, God means real repentance. You repent to God with all your heart. You confess your sins to Him. Now, hold your place here in Jeremiah 7 and go over to Joel, the second chapter, page 669. And here, right in the middle of the judgment that God is bringing in Joel, the second chapter, he says, verse 12, Joel 2 and verse 12, "Therefore, even now, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. Yes, rend your heart and not your garments, and return to the Lord your God. For he is gracious and merciful and slow to anger and of great kindness, and he repents of the evil." Now back to Jeremiah 7 and verse 5. God says, "If you will thoroughly amend your ways and your doings." Now that's what that means. You cease committing adultery. You cease committing homosexuality, bestiality. You cease lying. You cease cheating. You cease coveting. You cease taking drugs, drunkenness, gambling, all of the current lifestyle that is widespread within America. Then you have to turn around. You have to do the other thing. If you thoroughly execute judgment between man and his neighbor, you got to change the way that you behave toward the people around you as well. And I wish Washington would listen to this. If you do not oppress the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, nor walk after other gods to your hurt. See, every time you break the commandments of God, it's to your own hurt. Then he says, verse 7, "Then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever." So what is the choice? Repentance is a choice. Repentance is something that each one has to do individually to God. God isn't going to make you repent. You do it voluntarily of your own free will. But since they won't, verse 8, "Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit." What lies do you believe? Well, let's just start out with the lies and offenses against God. I already mentioned Sunday. That's a lie. Easter is a lie. Communion is a lie. God says the Passover. That means also Halloween, Christmas. Jesus wasn't born anywhere near it, and all of the things that go on with Christmas are an abomination to God, because you're doing it for yourself, to yourself, and for your family, and you're doing nothing for God. And it is a lie. Oh, well, it's for the children. You approve of lying to your children? Have you told them that Santa Claus brings these things? Have you been dumb enough to take your children down to the local department store like my mom did when I was a kid, and I was so stupid I didn't put two and two together and sat in the lap of Santa Claus and this big fat old man with a fake beard on, and I had to endure his bad breath while sitting there, you know. "Well, sonny, what do you want for Christmas?" You know, why is Santa in the department store? Well, I finally had to figure that out later, and I told my mom, "Isn't that a lie?" "Oh, well, it's a white lie." You think God is pleased with white lies? You're lying to your children. And then you tell them, like I told my mom, but you told me don't lie. And when I did, you made me go out and get my own switch. And if I didn't get the right one, I got more switches. I always tried to get the thick one because they didn't hurt so much. She made me go out and get the thin ones, you know, nice and flexible, to, you know, get right around the calves of your legs. Do that today, and you can sue your kids for child abuse. See, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. How many lies do you believe? What about your own individual manufactured reality through television, through games, through music, through television? Verse 9, will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, and burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods whom you do not know, and then have the gall to do this? Verse 10, and then come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name, saying, we are delivered to do all of these abominations. We have grace. Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of thieves in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it. So God knows what's going on. Without a doubt. He says, I want you to learn a lesson. Verse 12. Now you go to my place that was in Shiloh. That's where the tabernacle was first put there. You see, and God means his own word, because he had them build a tabernacle and come there to worship him. If they didn't worship him in spirit and in truth and in the right way, God took it away. Same way with the temple. Did not God destroy the temple that Solomon built? Destroy the temple that they built after coming out of the captivity from Babylon, and then that temple was improved by Herod the king, half Jew, half Edomite. Yes, he said there won't be one stone left upon another, as Jesus said. Because if you don't come to God, and if your heart is not right, and if you don't repent, and if you haven't set your course to love God and keep his commandments, He is going to destroy the place that he consecrated to put his name there. So he says, you go see what I did, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. So God judges the people. Now because you have done all these works, says the Lord, and I spoke to you rising up early and speaking, that is through the prophets, but you did not hear. And I called you, but you did not answer. Therefore, I will do to this house which is called by my name, in which you trust, and to the place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight, even as I cast out all your brethren, the whole seed of Ephraim. Now, we're going to come to this point. So you need to be prepared for this too. Verse 16. Therefore, God tells Jeremiah, do not pray for this people, nor lift up cry nor prayer for them, nor make intercession to me, for I will not hear you. How close are we to that point? Well, you read the rest of it, and it's all because of false practices. And the only thing God wanted the children of Israel to do was obey his voice. Same way today. All God wants people to do today is obey his voice. Obey the voice of Jesus. Obey the teachings in the New Testament. Follow the things that God has taught. You can't throw away half the Bible, and you can't accuse God that he is evil and he is the lawgiver, has now agreed with your lawlessness and has abolished the law, when Jesus said, don't even think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not do that. See? So the choice is up to you. What are you going to do? What is your life going to be? All these things can be put in the past, just like Jesus told the woman who was caught in adultery, though they didn't bring the man, so it's rather strange how they can catch her in adultery. But he told her, go and sin no more. Now, God expects us to go and sin no more. Since we're in Jeremiah, let's come to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah knew what was going on. Jeremiah understood what it was. Jeremiah 23 and verse 9. Now, this is Jeremiah speaking. Because there were a lot of prophets around in his day, a lot of false ones, just like there are today, saying, oh, well, everything's wonderful, everything's fine. As for the prophets, my heart within me is broken. All my bones shake. I'm like a drunken man and like a man whom wine has overcome because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. That he had to preach this message, and yet look, verse 10, for the land is full of adulterers. They were obsessed with sex. Because of swearing, the land mourns. And the pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and they wield power unjustly. So yes, your private acts done in closed room in your own property affect the whole society and the environment. The land was full of adulterers. Just everywhere, a pall of sexual obsession. Who did it affect? Verse 11. For both prophet and priest are ungodly. And that's the whole goal of secular Christianity. Christianity without Christ. A religion of nice thoughts, rather than the harsh words of God to lead you to repentance. Yea, in my house I have found their evil. So their way shall be to them as slippery ways in the darkness, and they shall be driven on and fall in their way, for I will bring evil on them even the year of their judgment. So it's coming. It is coming. Now, let's look and see what Jesus said about the human heart. It's come to Mark, the 7th chapter. So you ask yourself the question, how do all of these things come about? See, because when you take away the laws of God, the commandments of God, the fear of God, the love of God, the truth of the knowledge of these things, love one to another, love a husband and wife, love of father and mother for their children, love of neighbor, love of self, and you just let human nature rule the roost. And you think in your mind, well, human beings are basically good. Well, if human beings are basically good, how did the society become this way? Because you need to understand the human nature. Mark 7, verse 21. Here's why. Here's why there are the laws of God and the commandments of God. This is why there is repentance that is required. This is why, if you really want to worship God in spirit and truth, you've got to repent and be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit of God. Because here's the nature that resides in every single one of us. And why, when the whole society and the religious teachers bring defining deviancy down and defining that God's laws are done away and that adultery is okay, that lying and cheating and stealing is okay, then here comes the evil of the human heart. For from within, out of the hearts of men, go forth evil thoughts. Notice what's listed next. Adulteries, fornications. Now, fornications means sexual immorality of all kinds. sexual obsession, which then leads to murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, guile, licentiousness, which means lawlessness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these evils go forth from within, and these defile the man. Now let's see what happens when the whole society runs amok. And here we will see how it comes about, because we're talking about living laws. Let's come to Romans, the first chapter, please. Romans, the first chapter. Now, this is quite a chapter. So let's pick it up here in verse 18. And we're going to read to the end of it. Because here's the indictment of our society. And remember, God holds out repentance. And if there is repentance, God will be favorable and grant relief. But here's how it starts. Just like Isaiah said, your leaders have caused you to err. So here, all the things that we have discussed all come together for a whole society. And in this case now, even the whole world. Verse 18. Indeed, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven upon all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. And that's what they want to do. They don't want anyone to teach the word of God, preach the word of God, condemn sin, and they want to have Christian religion to reside only in the recesses of your mind and heart while you sit at home. Now, here's what's happened. You can go back and think about all the leaders who have caused this to be done, to get rid of God, to bring in the theory of evolution, to bring in other religions, to bring in deviant practices and so forth. Because that which may be known of God is manifest among them, for God has manifested it to them. For the invisible things of him are perceived from the creation of the world. Yet we have atheism running amok today. Being understood by the things that were made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So you cannot have plausible deniability with God because he knows the heart. Because when they knew God, and there was a time when they did know God, and there was a time when this nation also knew God. See? They glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their own reasonings, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Whenever you become vain and lifted up in your own self and your own projects and the things that you do, you begin to stifle your ability. And their foolish hearts were darkened. While professing themselves to be the wise ones, oh, we know. We have the degrees. We have the universities. We have the religion. We have all of these things. They became fools. And they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the likeness of an image of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed creatures and creeping things. Now, when you reach this stage, God does something. You leave God, he leaves you. Verse 24, for this cause God also abandoned them to uncleanness through the lust of their hearts, to disgrace their own bodies between themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, believed Satan, believed his lies, and worshipped and served the created thing more than the one who is creator, who is blessed into the ages. Amen. Trusting in humanism. And what's coming back now? Witchcraft, Wiccaism, earth worship. Now notice what happens. Again, Second time, for this cause. God draws further away. God abandoned them to disgraceful passions. For even women change the natural use of sex into that which is contrary to nature. So we now have homosexual marriages, male and female, an abomination to God. And in the same manner also, the men, having left the natural use of sex with women, were inflamed in their lustful passions toward one another, men with men shamelessly committing lewd acts, and receiving back into themselves a fitting penalty for their error. And they have more sickness and disease in the male homosexual community than any other proportion of the population. And it's because of what they do. Yet they don't like to hear that. But then, deny the Center for Disease Control reports about your lifestyle. Now, since God is just, notice, in exact proportion as they did not consent to have God in their knowledge, God abandoned them. Okay? That's the third time, right? Verse 24:1, verse 26:2, verse 28:3, God abandoned them to a reprobate mind and to practice those things that are immoral. That's what happens. This has happened to the religious leaders, the political leaders, and to the general population. They don't know how to think. They don't know what is right and wrong. So here's what happens. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality. And this is the headline of your evening news, correct? Wickedness, covetousness, malice, full of envy, murder, strife, guile, evil disposition, and whisperers. Sounds like the movies too, correct? Yes. Slanderers, God-haters, the gospel of hate, insolent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things and practices, disobedient to parents, void of understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable and unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who commit such things are worthy of death, not only practice these things themselves, but also approve of those who commit them. Yeah, a comment was made. Man has always been evil, and even the children of Israel had a big sex orgy before the golden calf while Moses was getting the judgments and statutes of God up on Mount Sinai. But now we have more people and it's more widespread, and we're getting to the point of the sixth chapter of Genesis, that the heart of man is evil continually before God. See? And never forget, it's because of all that evil that there was the flood. The only reason there isn't going to be a flood is because God promised never to bring another flood. But he's going to bring something worse than a flood. The tribulation and the return of Christ that's going to shake the heavens and the earth. All right. Now, let's see some admonitions for everyone here. Back in the book of Proverbs. Let's come to Proverbs, the fifth chapter. Now, here's an admonition that God gives, so that your life won't be entangled in these problems. And I couldn't help but thinking of this when I saw Governor Stanford try to explain why he did what he did. And they even had pictures from the security cameras at the airport, seeing him pull his own suitcase out so he could catch a late flight to go to Argentina to be with his illicit lover. Proverbs 5 and verse 1. My son, attend to my wisdom. Bow your ear to my understanding, that you may keep discretion and that your lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a wanton woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Once a woman gives herself over to that, men just fall into the trap. But her end is as bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Especially if you get sexual transmitted disease. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on the grave. She does not ponder the path of life, her ways are unstable, you cannot know them. Therefore hear me, O you children, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Remove your ways far from her, because, see, you have to flee fornication. That's what Paul said. Run, get out of there. And Joseph was the only man in the Old Testament that refused to lay with a wanton woman. And Job said, no, I don't look upon these maidens. I've made a covenant with my eyes not to do so. So that's departing, for keep it far from you. Now notice, verse 9, lest you give your honor unto others. And as one commentator said about what do they think about him continuing as governor, he said he's toast. Someone called in from South Carolina and said, down here we call them biscuits. Lest strangers be filled with your wealth. Got to have attorneys now defend you, right? And your labors be in the house of a stranger. And you mourn when your end comes, when your flesh and your body are consumed. You lie there in your pain and agony and you say, how I hated instruction and my heart despised correction. Too late. Oh, I know it was a dumb thing. I know I shouldn't have done it. How many times have we heard it? You know, and I congratulate his wife for not standing there with him like some of these other women were forced to by their profligate husbands. You know, like in New York, they got rid of Spitzer. And the lieutenant, first thing he did, he had to say, well, I committed adultery too. I want you to know it up front. Verse 14. I was almost in utter ruin in the midst of the congregation and assembly. So God says, just like Paul, to avoid sexual immorality, let every man have his own wife and every woman her own husband. That's God's way. So here it is reaffirmed, verse 15. Drink waters out of your own cistern and running waters out of your own well. Let your fountains be dispersed abroad as rivers of waters in the street. Let them be only your own and not strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. Let her be as the loving deer and the pleasant doe. Let her breast satisfy you at all times and be ravaged always with her love. For why will you, my son, be ravaged with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? And look what happened. And that's repeated over and over and over and over and over and over, millions of times over. You need to understand this. You're never going to get away from God. For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be held with the cords of his sins, and he shall die without instruction in the greatness of his folly. He shall breathe his last. And that stain and shame will never be removed from anyone who has done it. Proverbs 6 and verse 23. quite a bit in here concerning problems with sex, because God knows how people will be and become obsessed with sex if they do not have the laws and commandments to guide them and show them where to go. Verse 23, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. And you never forget it, you see. To what? To keep you from the evil woman, and we could put there the evil man. And from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman or man. Do not lust after her beauty in your heart. And you probably heard some of the emails read over the news about how the governor was infatuated with her beauty and wrote her and told her that. Let her not seduce you with her eyelids, for by the means of a harlot a man is vanquished to a piece of bread. And the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. I wonder how long she worked on him to make it work. Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes be not burned? Can one walk upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So is he who goes in to his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her shall not be innocent. They do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his soul when he's hungry. Yet if he is found, he will restore sevenfold. He shall give all the goods of his house. But whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. What's the first thing they say? Well, it was dumb. It was stupid. What does that mean? You lack understanding. He who does it destroys his own soul. He shall get a wound and dishonor, and his shame shall not be wiped away. Unless he belongs to the liberal element of the political wing of American politics, then he will be exalted. So that's what God says. Now, let's come to Deuteronomy 32. Why as a nation have we done this to God? God brought us into the greatest land that there ever was. Deuteronomy 32. He made it the best land in all the world and put the modern descendants of Israel in it. Now here is God speaking to the children of Israel through Moses. Notice what it says. How many times does God call upon the heavens and earth to witness for him? Are we still on the earth? Yes. Are the heavens still above us? Yes. All right. Verse 1, give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My teaching shall drop as the rain. Bibles everywhere. My speech shall drop down as the dew, as the small rain on the tender plant, and as the showers on the grass. Because I will proclaim the name of the Lord and ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are just. A God of faithfulness and without iniquity, just and upright is he. Now notice compared to the prophecy of the children of Israel. They have corrupted themselves. They are not his children. It is their blemish. They are crooked, they are a crooked and perverse generation. Is this the way you pay back to the Lord, O foolish and unwise people, with all the blessings that God has given? Is he not your father who bought you? Has he not made you and established you? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father, and he will show you, and your elders, and they will tell you. But no longer, because they've given up on God. Now let's look at the perfect example here in Ephesians, the fifth chapter, in the New Testament. Now while we were turning there, I was reading that this morning in the latest proofing to send the Bible off to China for the second edition. And I thought, isn't that something? We're seeing all of these things unfold right before our eyes. And I thought, that's a perfect description of what we've done as a nation. How have we rewarded God for all his good that he's done to us? Well, we've lied, we cheated, we've stolen, committed adultery, and all of those things. And then we sit back and say, oh, why do we have all of these problems? Well, you do, because the whole nation is running itself that way. And in that, a lot of us feel like poor Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah, right? Yes. Now let's see what God wants us to do. Just think for a minute. If the whole society could do this, that's why the kingdom of God is coming when Christ returns, see, for the whole world. Verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. Not something? Wouldn't that be fantastic if there were a society where everyone loved God, followed his way, kept his commandments? That day is coming in the millennium when Christ returns. And walk in love, not in lust, not in adultery, not in covetousness and stealing. Even as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savior. And yet what always happens when they get caught? They look for God to forgive them when they have no intention of really repenting. But notice the admonition here in the church, verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, and all you religious leaders in whatever denomination or cathedral or synagogue, listen to this. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, do not permit it even to be named among you as is fitting the saints. Nor filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not becoming, but instead thanksgiving. For you know that no fornicator, that is, immoral person, or unclean person, or covetous person who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Do not let anyone deceive you with vain words, for because of these things the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be joint partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, because the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, which then allows you to do what? Proving what is well-pleasing to the Lord. But have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. And that's what we are to do. We are to cry aloud and spare not in the time when these things come about. For it is shameful even to mention the things done by them in secret. But all of these things being exposed by the light are openly revealed. So even for the church. Therefore, he says, you who are sleeping, wake up and arise from the dead, and Christ shall shine upon you. So then take heed that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as those who are wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. For this reason, do not be foolish, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, that you live by it, that you walk by it, that you do it, and that is the standard of your moral behavior. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now let's come down here to verse 22. Here is the marital estate. Wives, submit yourself to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Marriage is always a two-way street. And it's not 50-50. It's 100% plus 100%. 100% by the husband, 100% by the wife. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. For even as the church is subject to Christ, in the same way also let wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives. Don't two-time them. In the same way that Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So you are to help, you are to upbuild, you are to increase. So that he might sanctify it, having cleansed it with the washing of the water by the word. That he might present it to himself as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands are duty bound to love their wives as their own body. And he who loves his wife loves himself. Now, if that were followed, there wouldn't be any adultery. There would be no need for it. God's way is the way that works. God's way is the way that it is right. And that's the way that you build life. That's the way you build families. That's the way God wants it to be. That way, then, there doesn't have to be the agony of sin and the obsession of sex, which destroys lives and families and children and brings dishonor not only to the man and the woman, but to the whole society. And can you imagine how the people in South Carolina feel today? Or whenever it happens, how they feel. So that's what God expects. That is the way we should live our lives. So I hope that we understand why this nation is obsessed with sex, and where if there is not repentance, it's going to lead. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.